Blog Talk Radio.
The following program is a production of Turning Leaf Radio Network, Altoona, Pennsylvania.
Hello, everyone. This is Valencia Scott, and I am part of Turning Leaf Ministries. And the title of my show is called The Ties That Bind. And what I'll be sharing about today in recovery is the threefold illness, which I will be coming at the doctor's opinion. So I'm going to start out with prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I come to you as humbly as I know how. Father God, I repent of anything I've done today that's not like you, in the name of Jesus. Father God, I pray that you remove Valencia out the way and have your way, Father God. Let your words come out of my mouth in your son Jesus' name. Amen. And the threefold illness is mentally, physically, and spiritually. So, okay, I'm going to drop my book right now. Out of the doctor's opinion, the physician who at our request gave us this letter has been kind enough to enlarge upon his views in another statement which follows. In this statement, he confirms, well, we who have suffered alcoholic torture must believe that the body of an alcoholic is quite as abnormal as his mind. It did not satisfy us to be told that we could not control our drinking just because we were maladjusted to life, that we were in full flight from reality or were outright mental defective. These things were true to some extent, in fact, to a considerable extent with some of us. But we are sure that our bodies were sickened as well. And I believe any picture of the alcoholic which leaves out this physical factor is incomplete. The doctor's theory that we have an allergy to alcohol interests us. As laymen, our opinion as it is soundness may, of course, mean little. But as an ex-problem drinker, we can say that this explanation makes good sense. It explains many things for which we cannot otherwise account. Though we work out our solution on a spiritual as well as an altruistic plan, we favor hospitalization for the alcoholic who is very jittery or befall. More often than not, it is imperative that a man's brain be cleared before he is approached, and he has a better chance of understanding and accepting what we have to offer. The doctor writes, the subject presented in this book seems to me to be of a paramount importance to those afflicted with alcoholic addiction. I say this after many years of experience, medical director of one of the oldest hospitals in the country treating alcohol and drug addiction. There was, therefore, a sense of real satisfaction when I was asked to contribute a few words on a subject which is covered in such masterly detail in these pages. We doctors have realized for a long time that some form of moral physiological was of urgent importance to alcoholics, but its application presented difficulties. Beyond our concept, what with our altered modern standards, our scientific approach to everything, we are perhaps not well equipped to apply the powers of good that lie out our scientific knowledge. Many years ago, one of the leading contributors to this book came under our care in this hospital. And while here, he acquired some ideas, which he put in practical application at once. Later, he requested the privilege of being allowed to tell his story to other patients. Here, and with some misgiving, we consented. The cases we have followed through have been interesting. In fact, many of them are amazing. The unselfishness of these men, as we have come to know them, the entire absence a profit motive, and their community spirit is indeed inspiring to one who has labored long and weary in this alcoholic field. They believe in themselves and still even more than a power which pull chronic alcoholics best from the gates of death. Of course, an alcoholic ought to be free from his physical craving for liquor, and this often requires a definite hospital procedure before psychological measures can be of maximum benefit. We believe and suggested a few years ago that the action of an alcoholic and these chronic alcoholics is a manifestation of an allergy, that the phenomenon of craving is limited to this class and never occurs in the average temperate drinker. These allergy types can never safely use alcohol in any form at all, and once having formed a habit and found they cannot break it, once having lost their self-confidence, their reliance upon things human, their problems pile up on them and become astonishingly difficult to solve. Body emotional pill, sedum suffices. The message which can interest and hold these chronic alcoholics must have depth and weight. In nearly all cases, their ideas must be grounded in a power greater than themselves if they are to recreate their lives. If any feel that a psychiatrist directing a hospital for alcoholics, we appear somewhat sentimental. Let them stand with us a while on the firing line. See the tragedies, the despairing wives, the little children. Let the solving of these problems become a part of their daily work and even of their sleeping moments. And the most cynical will not wonder that we have accepted and encouraged this movement. We feel after many years of experience that we have found nothing which had contributed more to the rehabilitation of these men and their altruistic movements. Now growing up among them, men and women drink essentially because they like the effect produced by alcohol. The sensation is so elusive that while they admit it is injurious, they cannot after a time differentiate the truth from the false. To them, their alcoholic life seems the only normal one. They are restless, irritable, and discontent until they can experience the sense and ease and comfort which comes at once by taking a few drinks, drinks which they see others taking with impunity. After they have succumbed to the desire again, and so many do, and the phenomenal craving develops, they pass through the well-known stages of a spree, emerging remorseful, with a firm resolution not to drink again. This is repeated over and over, and unless this person can experience an entire psychic change, there is very little hope of his recovery. And then I went over a few points. As I was saying, threefold illness, mentally, physically, and spiritually. Mentally, but it's the body. Okay, when they say something about the mind, which I made points about going to the doctors, talking to a psychiatrist, the body of the alcoholic is quite as abnormal as his mind. So the body and the mind is messed up. Then it says it did not satisfy us to be told that we could not control our drinking because we were maladjusted to life, that we were in full flight from reality and mental defectives. I mean, you're crazy, 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 and a double crazy because normal people don't get up and drink to oblivion. And first, mentally and physically. Then I also covered the part. What is this? While we use men and women drink essentially because they like the effect. They like the feeling. I like the feeling when I use. And the sensation is so elusive while they admit it is injurious. Even though it hurts me, I keep on using. They cannot, after a time, differentiate the truth from the false. I can't tell what's real and what's not real because I'm so oblivious, because I'm constantly drinking and I'm messing up my mind, I'm messing up my body, and I'm messing up my soul. And when I don't have it, I become restless, irritable, and discontent, unless I can experience the sense and ease which comes at once by taking a few drinks. That's the only time that I was fine. Then it's talking about the psychic change, which is what they say in recovery. It's a power greater than yourself, which I call mind. It's God. These things have to be in order. Your mind has to be straightened out. Your body got to be straightened out. And your spirituality has to be straightened out. And God is the only one that can do that. But after you get into the program and read into the book and get into studying the book and finding out what's really going on with you and finding out why you're using and why you're messing up your mind, your body, and your spirit, that's when you can completely get a psychic change. That's what it says. On the other hand, it's strange as this may seem to those who do not understand, once a psychic change has occurred, the very same person who seemed doomed, who had so many problems, he despaired of ever solving them, suddenly finds himself easily able to control the desire for alcohol, the only effort necessary being that he requires to follow a few simple rules. Okay, and I'm going to talk about, also, and Dr. P is talking about the mind, like the bipolar, the manic depressive, because people don't realize once you're drinking and drugging like that, you mess up a lot of things and you develop these bad habits like depression. Some people are depressed. It says in this book also, some people have to go get outside help because, for one, if you don't get that, you're not You're not normal. Normal people don't get up and just drink, and don't do nothing else. Don't care about your family. Don't even care about yourself. That's not normal. And in the doctor's opinion, that's why I'm sharing these special points about the mind and the body. As far as my mind, I found out that I had, depression, arachnophobia, and I was a manic depressive and bipolar. That's what I found out about myself. That's the mind. My body, I damaged my body because they said my liver was swelled. And as far as God, I just call on God when I had wanted something from him. I really wasn't just trying to do his will. I was just trying to do my own thing. So those are the three areas, the mental, the physical, and the spiritual. And as far as mental, I had to go get me a psychiatrist to get on some medication to slow my thinking down, to slow me down. Had really bad anxiety. I take medicine to eat and take medicine to sleep. That come from drinking. My body had to go to the doctor about my liver. My liver healed. It's healed now, but it was really bad because when I went to St. Francis, I was 300 pounds and I thought I was pregnant. They said my stomach swelled because my liver has swelled, but it's healing. You know, it's healed now. But the spirituality, this is my relationship with God. I have a really strong, deep relationship with God. And you've got to have a relationship with God in order to stay sober. And these are the alcoholics, different alcoholics. And you listen to this again, you will find out which one you are. Okay? There are many situations which arise out of phenomenal craving, which cause men to make the supreme sacrifice rather than continue to fight. The classification of alcoholics seems most difficult, and in much detail is outside the scope of this book. Here's one. There are, of course, the psychopaths who are emotionally unstable. We are all familiar with this type. They are always going on the wagon for keeps. They are over-remorseful and make many resolutions, but never decisions. That's one. There is a type of man who is unwilling to admit that he cannot take a drink. He plans various ways of drinking. He changes his brand or his environment. That's one. There is the type who is that always believes that after being entirely free from alcohol for a period of time, he can take a drink without danger. There's another one. There is the manic depressive type, who is perhaps the least understood by his friends and about whom a whole chapter could be written. There's another. Then there are types entirely normal in every respect, except in the effect alcohol has upon them. They are often able, intelligent, friendly people. All these and many others have one symptom in common. They cannot start drinking without developing the phenomenal craving. This phenomenon, as we have suggested, may be the manifestation of an allergy, which differentiates these people and sets them apart as a distinct entity. It has never been by any treatment with which we are familiar, permanently eradicated. The only relief we have suggested is entire abstinence, can't use it all. This is immediately precipitates us into a seething cauldron of debate. Much has been written pro and con, but among physicians, the general opinion seems to be that most chronic alcoholics are doomed because you're going to kill yourself. You can't just consistently just drink because it's like they said, how my sponsor had said, drinking and drugging is like you drinking Clorox, get some bleach, and light a cigarette. It's exactly what you're doing to your body, and your body cannot live off of it, and it's just poison. You're just constantly putting poison in your body, and it's impossible to live. What is the solution? Perhaps I can best answer this by reading one of our experiences. About 1 year prior to the experience, a man was brought in to be treated for chronic alcoholism. He had but partially recovered from a gastric hemorrhage and seemed to be a case of a pathological mental deterioration. He had lost everything worthwhile in life and was only living, one might say, to drink. He frankly admitted and believed that for him, there was no hope. Following the elimination of alcohol, there was found to be no permanent brain injury. He accepted the plan outlined in this book. 1 year later, he called to see me, and I experienced a very strange sensation. I knew the man by name and partly recognized his features, but their all resemblance ended. From a trembling, despairing, nervous wreck had emerged a man brimming over with self-reliance and contentment. I talked with him for some time. but was not able to bring myself to feel that I had known him before. To me, he was a stranger, and he left me. A long time has passed with no return to alcohol. When I need a mental uplift, I often think of another case brought in by a physician, prominent in New York. The patient had made his own diagnosis and decided his situation hopeless, had hidden in a desert barn, determined to die. He was rescued by a searching party and in a desperate condition, brought to me. Following his physical rehabilitation, he had a talk with me in which he frankly stated that the treatment was a waste of effort, unless I could assure him, which no one ever had, that in the future he would have the willpower to resist the impulse to drink. His alcoholic problem was so complex and his depression so great that we felt his only hope would to be through what we call more psychological, and we doubted if even that would have an effect. However, he did become sold on the idea contained in this book. He had not had a drink for a great many years. I see him now and then, and he is a fine specimen of manhood as one could wish to meet. I earnestly advise every alcoholic to read this book thoroughly. And though perhaps he came to scoff, he may remain to pray. William D. Silkworthy, M.D. And again, I pray that anyone that's dealing with alcoholic or drugs or, sex addiction or whatever, I pray that you get the book so you can get into the book and you can study the book. Look up the words so you can find out what's really going on with you, what's going on with your mind, what's going on with your body, what's going on with your spirit, because those three things got to be in order, because it's nothing that's in the big book. When the spiritual malady is overcome, we straighten out mentally and physically. So it's so important to get your soul right, get with God, because he's the one that's going to clean you up. He's the one that can straighten out your mind. He's the one that can straighten out your body. But there's no way that you can ask him to do these things when you don't know what's going on. And that's what's the important thing about recovery, is to get into the book and study the book and know what's going on. And that's all I have for today. My name again is Valencia Scott. The title of my show is The Ties That Bind. And I just got to talking about the threefold illness related to alcohol and drugs. I just share experiences after the doctor's opinion. So for the ones that have a big book, study the doctor's opinion. The ones that don't have a book, I advise you to get a book, because you need the book. You need to know what's going on. You need to know. And that's the best way, by you knowing, you can tell God that he can fix it. Trust me, I've been there. So I also want to thank Mira Mills and Brandon Turner for the opportunity to have a show. I pray that everyone have a blessed day. I pray that I said something to encourage someone, and I'm about to close. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I come to you as humble as I know how. Father God, if I said something to offend someone, please forgive me, Father God. And I pray that words that I spoke, Father God, help someone, encourage someone, Father God. And I pray that you continue to have your way in my life, in your son Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Bye-bye.